Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Well, welcome back. That's actually maybe a welcome back to me. I've missed a couple podcasts here and there over the new year, and it's because I got married. So yay. My fiance Meredith has now become my wife, Meredith. And I have no words to truly state how significant that is to me and how much I appreciate her and how much I love her and how excited I am to share my life with her. She's an amazing, amazing person. And what I wanted to do today was we're at podcast number 831. The topic and title is actually going to be a wedding prep. I'm going to tell the story of how Meredith and I got her ready for the wedding throughout this year. And this would be in regards to getting her ready for, you know, nutrition and training, kind of getting her body ready to present herself in her forever photos of our wedding in a way in which she could feel confident, she could feel comfortable, and feel excited. And I'm truly blessed that I was able to help her, truly blessed that I understand these elements of nutrition and training so that way we could get her to a place that she felt comfortable. And I want to tell her story as a way to congratulate her and kind of share how hardworking she is and how dedicated she is, how just freaking awesome she is. And then also to encourage others and offer help to others. So what I wanted to do was basically tell you the story. Let's start with the story of us. I proposed last December 19th, which is actually her birthday. And then we started kind of prepping for the wedding after the holidays that year. So we started prepping for the wedding in January. Part of that is, you know, picking a venue, finding like a photographer, videographer, DJ services, all those things, trying to get all the people who you have to schedule for a certain date to get them done first. And then another thing that we went to would be to try on the dress, to find her wedding dress. Now, I actually went with her, and part of the reason why is Meredith and I, we are genuinely best friends. She's an awesome human being. I love her opinion. I love her sense of humor. I love just being around her. So with that being said, she wanted my input on how she looked. So I actually do like fashion. I know that sounds really kind of odd from a male, and it sounds odd maybe from a male who's 285 pounds and lifts weights and owns a gym, but one of my favorite shows I used to watch when I was younger was actually What Not to Wear, and part of it was because I thought the hairdresser was pretty, so I wanted to see her at the end of the show, but also it was just kind of interesting to see fashion in the sense of could it be something that I could get good at. One of the things Meredith likes about me is no matter what we are doing, I can find a way to be interested and excited, and part of that is because I just want to see if I can learn what's going on. So if somebody started telling me, you know, about NASCAR, I apologize to anybody out there who loves NASCAR, but it's not that exciting to me. It does genuinely appear that they just drive in circles, but I know that there's a lot more to it than that. As with anything in life is, you take anything and you hyper-focus on it, there's going to be enormous amounts of details, and there's this perfectionist aspect to, can I learn all of the elements? Can I then know how to manipulate them in relation to each other, and can I do that better than, say, the average? Not necessarily that I want to beat anyone in particular, but I just want to see if I can be good at something. I just like knowing if I'm good at something or not. So there's a standard average that would then be, you know, if you're above that, you're good. If you're below that, you're not. So it's not necessarily I want to beat anyone else. I just want to know if I'm good at something. So fashion was something that caught my eye in terms of pairing, you know, obviously colors together, but pairing styles of clothes together and seeing if I could put together a whole outfit. I love doing all that. So my poor mother was born with two boys and no girls. So I was the one over the years who would go shopping with her and help her pick out her dresses and shoes and jewelry and match all that. So whenever Meredith said she was going for a dress, she asked, would you like to go? And we know that tradition says the husband should not see the dress, but screw that. We were going to go do it together because we both found pleasure in it. She found pleasure in knowing that I would be able to help her pick out something that not only would show her best, but also something that I would like. And I wanted to be there to help her pick out something that she liked, kind of back her up where even if what she wanted wasn't necessarily traditional, if she wanted it, I wanted to make sure she felt encouraged to get it. So we're there as teammates. Now, when we went to try on the dress, they only had stock sizes and everything, and the one dress that she picked, I think it's Badgley Mishka. I'm not going to pronounce any of these things correctly, but it's a gorgeous dress. Oh, my God. You can check out our social media for Brutal Iron Gym. I have a couple pictures up on Instagram and Facebook of her wedding dress, and it's just gorgeous. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. So we went and we found that dress, and she had already kind of found it through Instagram and through social media, tried to hunt down where that dress might be available, and it was either like New York City or Mooresville, or I think it's titled Mooresville, North Carolina, but it's up above Charlotte. So it's only about an hour drive for us, and they said they had a dress, so we were like, oh, hell yeah, we're heading up there. So we went there, and they tried on a stock size 8, and in certain places it was kind of snug, certain places it was kind of loose, like it just didn't fit necessarily her body type. Now, this is a long story, very short, was Meredith was coming out of some stress and some craziness from a couple years leading up to when we met and whatnot, and she didn't feel like her true self in the sense that she hadn't been able to dedicate to training the way she normally would. So she was going to try on a dress in a body that she didn't necessarily want to keep. She wanted to, since we had met, we'd been working towards kind of dieting and training and shaping her. So she's competed before and did really well in her competition. She even won first place. It's just the chaos between that competition and when I met her, just a lot of stress, a lot of chaos. So she had gone away from what she believed to be her kind of standard in terms of the way her body would look. Now, she's amazing. If you ever see the way she looks, she's freaking gorgeous. And I have women, clients tell me all the time, like, I want to look like Meredith. What do you do with that? How can I do that? And it's fun and exciting to know that she does have that look, but she didn't feel confident. She wanted to feel confident in the way that she wanted, regardless of whether other people thought she looked attractive. She didn't feel that she was the way that she wanted to be. So when we tried on that stock size 8, they actually told us to order a size 10. And Meredith and I are both like, there's no way in hell we're not ordering a size 10. And they were saying, well, you know, it might be tight in this area, tight in that area. And we said, hey, it's only February. Our wedding isn't till December. We still have 10 months. We're going to be dieting and changing her body shape the whole time. Like, she's not going to come in with the same body she has now. We definitely need a smaller dress. And they kept fighting with us. They actually argued with us and made us confirm it 3 different times before they would actually order a smaller dress. They really, really, really argued against it. They said, we hear about this all the time, and, you know, people tell us all the time they're going to diet, and then they come back 10 months later, and they actually need even bigger dresses. And we're like, yeah, you may hear that from people, but we're not people. So when we say we're dieting, we're damn near, we're dieting. We're going to do this thing. So we actually ordered a size 4. The ladies at the store went absolutely insane and really argued against us, told us about 4,000 times what their policy was about returns and all these things. And we said, yeah, 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 whatever, whatever, whatever. We know what we're doing. Just order us a size 4. Well, in December, when she went for her final, like her fitting, and then to make the final adjustments, they actually had to take in parts of the size 4. So throughout the year, Meredith went from a snug size 8 down to size 4 needing to be taken in. And that is astronomical given what we had to go through in 2020. Now, 2020 was a tough year for everyone. But in the year, Meredith had lost a job. She had been offered a really high-level job. She had left her previous job, accepted the new job. Then when the pandemic, like literally it was a week before the pandemic hit, and then all of a sudden her new place called her back and said, hey, you know, we no longer honor the contract, even though she had signed it. So she was without a job. And since she voluntarily left her previous place, she was denied unemployment. So that's pretty stressful. You lose a job that you believe was like your dream job at the time, a big level job. You lose that and you can't even get unemployment. So that's an insane amount of stress. She then went to apply for like 600 places, and I'm not exaggerating. Meredith is a go-getter. She applied to 600 places, and about 5 or 6 weeks later, I believe, she was able to land a new job, the job she has now. But that's an enormous amount of stress. And as you can imagine, within that time frame, most people would have, you know, not eaten anything, or they would have eaten everything. They would have stopped all their training. Most people would have been crushed by the depression of that, by the uncertainty of that, by the fear of that moment. But Meredith did a great job. She kept up with her nutrition, she kept up with her training, and we worked through it together. Another thing that happened this year was my dad unfortunately had cancer, and he was able to beat it. He had to have surgery, and it turned out okay, but that was a lot of stress on both of us, and it was a lot of just uncertainty in what's going on with that. Meredith's mom had a stroke and actually ended up in the hospital for a couple weeks. We had to drive back and forth from South Carolina to New Jersey about three different times within a span of, I think, like a month and a half. We had to help move her from New Jersey to South Carolina. So that involved one period of time where we were awake on a Friday from like 7 a.m. until Saturday morning at 4 a.m., kind of packing up the house. So that was almost 24 hours. We went to bed at 4 a.m. on Saturday morning, got back up at 7:30, so only 3.5 hours. Then from 7:30 in the morning till midnight, I loaded the apartment into a box truck, like a trailer thing, and then at midnight, I drove us from New Jersey to South Carolina. We got to her mom's rental house at about 1 in the afternoon, so at this point, I hadn't slept in 24 hours plus. And then we got there and the key to the building wouldn't work. I ended up using an axe and breaking the key box off the house, driving it to my dad's house, grinding the key box open with a grinder, getting the key out, heading back in. We loaded the house back, loaded the house up, and got everything in the house, and then finally went to bed, I think, around 1 a.m. on like Monday morning. So I had been awake for 40 some hours. It was horrendous. That was one of the most craziest things I've ever done in my life. And thank God I don't hopefully ever have to do that again. But within all that stress of driving back and forth for a month and a half with her mom having a stroke, with us having to move her, again, Meredith stayed with her nutrition. She stayed with her training. Then, also in 2020, we had to prep for the wedding. We had to sign up, different services. We had to go to different appointments. And you can imagine how the appointments that you would typically do getting ready for a wedding are going to be, you know, hair, nails, finding other clothes for different parts of the wedding. We had to shop for decorations. We had to do all of that. And that actually hit at the exact time her mom had her stroke, and we had to be driving back and forth from New Jersey and South Carolina. And it was just absolutely insane. There wasn't a single night for like 2 months straight that we didn't have something to do in place of work or after work. And then also in 2020, there was this pandemic thing. So that was what our year was. And I'm even skipping a couple things that it's enough to get the point across. But it was a hell of a year. And through all that, Meredith stayed on point. She stayed true to her goals. Now, she did need help, as anyone would, and that's what my job was there for. So I was her teammate in life, and I'm there to help her whenever she needs it, and she'll help me whenever I need it. And it's great to have that support system. She would not have made it through the year as well as she did without a support system. And that's okay to say. I need that as well in my life. Everyone needs a support system. Everyone can use someone else's strength when they can't find their own. That's very important to recognize, that you don't have to be alone in life, and you're not going to be your best if you're alone. Having a support system is necessary. Okay? So what did we do during all of that craziness that helped her go from them telling us to order a size 10 to us telling them to order a size 4, and we had to bring the size 4 in even more? Well, our daily nutrition, I'm actually going to tell you what she had every day. So you can get out a pen and paper if you want, and you can write this down. But it is specific to Meredith. Meredith has a good amount of muscle tissue due to her having done past physique shows, which means that her resting metabolism, how many calories her body burns at rest, is going to be high. Muscles require a lot of calories to stay alive. So if you don't have as much muscle as Meredith does, this food would be too much for you. You would not be able to lose weight on this food. Also, if you don't do the same activity level as Meredith did, this food would be too much for you. You would not lose weight on this food. So I'm going to tell it to you so you can have an idea of what she did get to eat, knowing that this isn't necessarily something you should write down and just do on your own. You can try it, but I promise you it won't work perfectly because it isn't your nutrition plan. It was hers. But I want to tell it to you so you can see how much food she was able to eat. when you do nutrition, when you do dieting correctly with the use of resistance training, and I'll talk about that here too as well. But when you train correctly, when you diet correctly, the number one complaint I get from clients is they don't want to have to eat all of the food. There's actually so much food that that becomes a struggle. We have to try to find ways to get more food in them for them to feel more comfortable. So we go through, just different ways to play around with food volume. So what's the size of the food that we need? For example, like getting enough fats. You can get fats in through oil, like, for example, salad dressings, rather than having to eat, fatty steak or having to eat larger items. Just drinking an oil can get the calories in. There's a lot of ways to kind of sneak foods in. Also, Meredith requires food to be gluten-free. She does have a significant gluten sensitivity. She'll be extremely sick if she has gluten. She gets really bad stomach cramps, feels horrible. It's not a really good experience for her. So she does need things to be gluten-free. And typically, gluten-free foods for most people do help them kind of digest the food better without bloating. We also take digestive supplements. There's a lot of things we take that help her be able to process her food well. So when she was younger, she took an acne medicine that actually flattened out the villi in her intestines. It actually makes food digestion difficult for her. So knowing how to take the supplements to manage that is very important. So with our daily nutrition, what we did meal one was a cup of egg whites and two whole eggs with a gluten-free bagel. So every day for breakfast, she had a cup of egg whites with two whole eggs and a gluten-free bagel. Yes, you can have carbs when you're dieting. There's nothing wrong with carbohydrates when you're dieting. Zero. You can lose fat and eat carbs at the same time. If you don't believe me, wait till you hear the rest of her food. Almost every single meal include carbohydrates. And she went from a size 10 to a size 4 and had to actually bring in the size 4. While going through job loss, people having cancer, people having strokes, and prepping for a wedding in a pandemic. Okay? So you can have carbohydrates. The challenge is just with any food in general, you just can't overeat carbohydrates. The number one reason why people struggle with carbohydrates during dieting is they overeat. They eat too much of them. So learning how to control food mentally and emotionally is more important and actually more helpful than just trying to avoid a certain food the rest of your life. You cannot avoid carbohydrates for the rest of your life. It will not happen. If you try to go down that path, you will always be yo-yoing back and forth on diets. You'll never be content. You'll never be happy. You'll never find a lifestyle that just fits and works. Okay? Now, meal two was 2.5 cups of a mixture of gluten-free pasta, which is carb-based pasta, black beans vodka sauce, which is like a red-based sauce, with a side salad that had garlic and oil dressing on it. So she got to eat pasta while she lost weight. After she had a bagel for breakfast. So yes, again, you can have carbohydrates. Meal three was either nuts and cheese as like a snack pack kind of thing, or Greek yogurt and granola. And that was kind of depending on what she felt like each day, depending on which one we chose. And then meal four was usually the same thing as lunch, the pasta mixture, or sometimes we'd have chicken sausage and rice. Sometimes we'd have gluten-free buns and a hamburger. And we'd mix in some sweet potato fries. So there's a lot of ways in which you can manipulate the food you can eat, assuming that you portion control. And as also what she did is she trained and she stayed active and, she was very consistent. She did not waver from her nutrition plan very much. It was very good adherence, over 90% adherence to her nutrition and her training. So because she was consistent, she also got away with kind of more food and a lot of other varieties of foods. Then meal five would be on workout days. We'd add another small meal, which was usually the Greek yogurt and granola, maybe a protein shake with peanut butter or something like that. So typically we would have 4 meals every day. If she weight trained that day, she'd add a 5th meal. And that would be something like right before bed, give her body some nutrients to heal the body throughout the night based on the training. So that's what she got to eat every day. She got to eat a bagel for breakfast. She got to eat pasta for lunch and rice for dinner and had a lot of fun, just variety of foods. So you can eat food and lose weight. You just have to eat the right type of food. Everything has to be clean. You have to be active. And you have to kind of make sure that you earn the calories that you eat. Make sure that you're being active enough that those calories are going to be burned off, along with some body fat as well. Now, what did we do training-wise? Did she spend every day in the gym? No. Did she spend, you know, 2-3 hours in the gym? No. Never. Never, never, never. We were never in the gym longer than about 1.5 to 2 hours, and that would include cardio, and that was maybe like once a week, once every 2 weeks. So our regular thing was 3 to 5 times per week we lifted weights. And those were typically 30 to 45 minute sessions, because we'd do it before work or after work, and in between all the other appointments and all the other crazy crap that was happening. So it was 3 to 5 times per week. Most often it was 4 to 5 times a week. And we would get 30 to 45 minutes of weight training. We'd do full body, and that way her muscles were always sore. She was always burning fat because her body was always trying to repair muscle tissue. We never let her body actually fully recover. If you think of the body being 100%, and then when you work out, maybe you beat it up and you like reduce the muscle capacity, you reduce the muscle ability to say 50%. We just lived in 70 to 80%. The second she'd kind of sort of maybe get close to recovery, we'd train her again. If she felt too beat up and couldn't move much, we would do stretches, we'd do bodyweight stuff, and we'd do cardio. So we would kind of manipulate what we did each day based on her fatigue level each day. And this was necessary because our training was not consistent. Our training changed all the time because of the job loss, because of the stroke, because of the cancer, because of the pandemic. You know, the fears of the gym being too full or whether the gym's even open. So we always had to manipulate things. But what we kept it was always full body workouts, and we always trained to the muscles being sore. So if we had 2 or 3 days that we knew we weren't going to hit to the gym, we lift heavier things to make sure the soreness and the damage lasted 2 to 3 days. If we lifted today, knowing we can lift again tomorrow, we do very moderate, very lightweight stuff, more isolative movements. So that way she's not too beat up to train tomorrow, but she did get some damage done today. Our main focal points were raising the glute. So she had a lot of upper glute development from previous trainers not understanding how to build the glutes correctly. They had her use her lower back and her upper glutes too much when they were doing hinge movements like stiff leg deadlifts, Romanian deadlifts, regular deadlifts, sumo deadlifts. They didn't understand how to train the glutes properly at all. So her glutes grew imbalanced. So we've been working to undo that imbalance all year. Now, if you'll see in the wedding photos, there's actually a particular photo where I'm leaning against a stone pillar and she's coming, leaning into me and kissing me, and you can see her backside, and it looks freaking amazing. So I'll probably post that picture with this podcast as a way to promote kind of this concept of getting somebody ready for a wedding and the story that she went through, because you'll see in the picture, she looks stunning. Absolutely stunning. And I'm very happy for her, the change we were able to make throughout the year. But that was one of our main focus, was get a full rounded glute, because it'll look amazing in a wedding dress. And also she'll just be happy with her glutes. We also worked on hip tilt control. So she was very anterior tilt to her hips, meaning that her stomach would have stuck out. But it wasn't actually because she was fat. She was very lean, but due to having forward tilted hips, her belly kind of looked protruded more so than it really should have been. So we worked a lot on hip tilt control to flatten her stomach. And again, it wasn't necessarily fat loss. It was just trying to get her hips in the right position. Meredith has not had children, but a lot of women who have had children will notice that their hips are forward tilted due to abdominal weakness. And this is going to cause tightness on the hip flexors. It's going to cause a lot of kind of misalignment, tensions. Like tensions of the muscles related to the hips are going to be off. They're not going to be centered or evened out. So they're going to have a very forward tilted hip, and that's going to make their belly stick out. But it's actually not, they're not as fat as what they look. They just have to learn how to control their hip tilt better and adjust the musculature that does that. So that's what we did as well. We also worked on her upper back detail. So not width. We didn't want to make her upper back wide, but we did want to make some muscle bumps. We wanted to add some detail to her upper back because it made the upper back look very beautiful in her wedding dress. Then our other focal point was her shoulders. The shoulders, when you look at the front, middle, and rear delt, delt is short for deltoid. Deltoid is your shoulder muscle. When you look at the front, middle, and rear muscles of the shoulder, when you grow them correctly, it kind of puts like a cap on the shoulder. It adds a little more, not necessarily width to the shoulder, but it makes the shoulders not look so slumped. So it's more of a, it's a look that you would see in aesthetic athletes, figure models, fitness models, you know, bikini models, things like that, to where their head and shoulders and upper body don't look like a triangle. So it doesn't look like whatever that girl's name from Bob's Burgers that has the black glasses. I can't think of her name right now, but she looks like a triangle on the top of her body. So her waist looks wider than her shoulders. What you want to do by building a shoulder cap is it helps make the shoulders look wider than the waist. So it reverses that. It creates a V taper. So when you look at somebody from the backside, from their shoulders to their hips, it looks like a V rather than a triangle. Very, very, very important look for females, to that way their waistline looks tapered in and it makes their waist appear smaller. So these are all very, very specific attributes. Specific aesthetic attributes to make sure that she would look beautiful in her dress and then obviously without the dress on. So we did weight training in that way. Then we also did cardio, and this depended on our kind of schedule. It was sometimes only once or twice a week. Some weeks we were able to get it four or five times, but it was kind of off and on, somewhere between 2 to 4 times per week. She would do 30, maybe 60 minute sessions of step mill. So we actually got this tread climber that I was able to put in the office at the gym, so she had her own space. Regardless of the pandemic, she could have her own space to get away from people and still do her cardio. So if you notice, we did weight training more than we ever did cardio. We did weight training more frequently because we wanted to shape the body. Cardio does not shape the body. Cardio helps you lose some fat over top of whatever shape you have, but it doesn't build shape. It doesn't improve your shape. That's what weight training does. So that's what we went through and that's what we did. We paid attention to our daily nutrition every single day. We trained as much with weights as we could. We added cardio in when possible. And we focused on very specific attributes that led her to look the best way she could in her wedding dress. Now, why am I telling this story? The number one reason why I want to tell this story is I want to congratulate Meredith. She went through a 2020 that I think is very rare. Everyone had difficulties in 2020, but man, this woman, this poor woman, she had a lot. And I want to congratulate her because she absolutely earned it. She knew what she wanted. She worked her ass off for it, and she earned it. So I'm very, very proud of her, very happy for her. This was an accomplishment that is a feather in her cap for the rest of her life. Very, very happy for her. Now, the other reason is I want to encourage others. You heard what I said of what we went through this year. Job loss, denied unemployment, my dad's cancer, her mom's stroke, moving her mom from New Jersey to South Carolina, prepping for a wedding, and oh, there was a pandemic. There was more, but that's the list that's appropriate to share. And Meredith was able to go through all that. She was able to achieve a body that she wanted, a body that she could feel proud of, a body that she could feel happy with in our wedding photos. And I want to encourage you, whether you're getting ready for a wedding or whatever you're getting ready for, that no matter what you go through in your life, you can move forward. You can find a way, some way, just any way, to move in a positive direction each day. It can be done, whether it's something big, whether it's something small, just every single day you can take a step forward. Celebrate those steps when you're in the mix of life, when you're in the mud of life. Celebrate even the smallest of steps because they do add up. And the final reason is we want to help others. We do want to extend the offer for a wedding prep service. I can help get you ready for a wedding. And this would go for males as well. So I actually wanted to make sure I look good in the photos too. So I actually went through my own kind of process. But we help with motivation. We'll send morning text messages directly to your phone. We can also do emails, whichever kind of method you would prefer. But there are different motivational quotes, different motivational messages every single morning, getting you motivated to approach your day with the best mindset. We can also help with information. We can help you with nutrition programming, training programming, any kind of programs you need, any kind of information you need to make sure you're doing the right things. We can help with an accountability chart where you actually track your efforts, and we help you kind of talk through the obstacles that you might face. And there's an optional My Journal feature where you write in your journal what you're struggling with, what your thoughts are, what your challenges are, and then I'll go through that and I'll help you work through those. We also go through daily gratitude. We go through kind of daily reviews. There's a lot of help, because it's not only what you do, it's getting motivated to do it, and it's being consistent in doing it. So you need motivation, information, and accountability. And we can help you with all of those. So if you're interested in that service, reach out to us. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. Our website is www.brutalirongym.com. So on the website, there is an option to scroll to the very bottom and send us an email through that as well. But we want to make sure that you get the help that you need. You can have a body you love. And if you're getting ready for a wedding, you can love the way you look in your forever photos. Let us help. Okay? So, hopefully this story encourages you. Hopefully it gives you some insight into some things that you can do to create the best body that you can, a body that you'll love and be happy with. Again, if you need anything from us, our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. You can shoot us a message if you're interested in the service. If you just want to kind of tell us what you're struggling with, maybe if it's unrelated or if you're not sure if it's related, just let us know what you're struggling with and we'll help you out. So if you like today's podcast, please click like on whatever podcast platform you're on. It helps us be found in searches better. So please click like on this episode and please share the podcast. I significantly and wholeheartedly, sincerely appreciate when people share the podcast. It really does help. I just truly want people in the world to get the best information possible. And I hope and pray that I'm able to do that. And I thank you for your encouragement and your support in doing that. So if you can share the podcast, please do so. You can share it on social media, email, text message, conversation, however you do it. Also, if you like this type of information, you can always find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. You can tell us at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.